Welcome back, ghosts, ghouls, and things that go bump in the night. We have something a little different for you here at the Emporium this week. But as you probably know by now, if I get a call for help, I can't help but share it with you all. Maybe you can help the person who wrote in figure out what happened last night. So, why don't you relax, sit back, and tune in for what happened at my new house. Hey, something really weird happened to me last night, and I just need a little help wrapping my head around it. So, my wife Steph and I moved into this beautiful raised ranch home on 28 acres of forest in the hill section yesterday, and I'm already regretting it. We got a lot unpacked and put away. I was even able to set up 4 wireless cameras around the outside of the house that sends a notification to my phone when there's motion, 1 for each side of the house. Unfortunately, the Ring camera won't be here until next week. Never needed to use any of this stuff being in the city, but I figured that with all the wildlife around here, it would be a really good idea. I even set up the ringtone to be that girl from the Poltergeist saying, "They're here," because I thought it would be funny. After the long day, Steph and I were finally able to go to our new room and relax with a movie and cuddles. We were both exhausted and really needed the break. We laid there and watched Scream 5 for about an hour before everything started. It was about 9 p.m., so it was pretty dark outside, especially with the cover of trees, but thank God for night vision. My phone goes off. "They're here." I picked up the phone, hoping to see maybe a deer or even a bear, since they are around these parts. I looked at the camera that pinged to see nothing. Weird, but maybe it was just a bird that flew off. I put the phone down and continued the movie. About 20 minutes later, "They're here," goes off again. I picked up my phone. And again, nothing there. It happened again 5 minutes later, and again 5 minutes after that. It was then I decided to keep my phone in my hand and just watch. I stared at my phone, trying to get a glimpse of what those cameras were picking up. Off in the tree line, I could see something moving behind me. I couldn't make it out, though. It was just a mass bobbing around every so often. "They're here." Something that looked kind of like a ball was suddenly launched from where the mass hid, setting off the camera and falling out of frame. It was strange, and Steph agreed, but the thing wasn't moving behind the tree anymore, so maybe it was a bear and just went away. Can bears throw things? About 2 hours later, I was finally ready to turn in for the night. Steph had fallen asleep about 45 minutes earlier, and all was quiet with the cameras. Right when I had closed my eyes, the cameras went off. "They're here." I grabbed my phone, groaned, and looked. It was the front camera this time. Again, nothing was there. Someone pounded on the door. I got up and rushed downstairs because the knocking was beginning to shake the house. I crept up to the violently beaten door to peer outside the peephole. Right before my eye hit the hole, the banging stopped. And when I looked, no one was there. "They're here." My phone went off, making me jump off the ground. I looked at the phone just to see a white floating garment leaving the frame. I opened the door and stepped outside. I was greeted with silence. It was as if the air itself had stopped. The pit of my stomach felt heavy, like a brick sat buried inside. The feeling was too much, so I quickly went back inside, locking the door. I went around the house, making sure all the windows and doors were barred, turned off the lights, and went upstairs. Somehow, my wife had just slept through it all, and lay peacefully oblivious to the outside world. I sat there, and pondered if maybe I should call the police, but I decided against it, thinking at worst, it's just some neighborhood kids, knowing we just moved in. I laid down, but sleep eluded me for a few hours as I tossed and turned to await the terror to continue. I ended up falling asleep, but that only lasted about 45 minutes before I heard it again. They're here. I looked at my phone, 3 a.m. Clicking it on, the camera came into view. A lone girl with long, flowing hair and a white gown stood on my back lawn. Her head was down, so I couldn't see her face, and she just stood there. I sat there for a minute, just watching, making sure I wasn't hallucinating from my lack of sleep. I ended up waking Steph up to show her and to make sure I wasn't going crazy. Yeah, she's definitely there. She may need help. We should really go down, she said. I agreed, and we headed downstairs. My phone was in my hand as I periodically checked to make sure she was still there until we reached the back door. I opened the door slowly and shouted, "You okay over there?" She gave no response, so I headed outside. I walked slowly, asking her if I needed to call the police or if she needed to come inside, as Steph stayed back just in case she needed to grab the first aid kit. As I got within 10 feet of her, she looked up. Her hair parted from her face, revealing a white mask. Blood-red droplets painted on, resembling tears, fell from the eye holes. I was so thrown off by the mask, I almost missed her dropping a knife into her hand, concealed by the gown. She ran towards me and lunged, screaming like a wild animal. The knife came out, slicing the inside of my arm. Blood squirted down, splashing her dress. I moved to the side, throwing my arms out, and shoved her down so she rolled away and I had time to run. I ran, hearing her get up, and her feet pounding the grass beside me made me run faster. I made it to the door, slamming it just in time and locking it. Steph grabbed my arm, asking what happened and who was that. We quickly ran to the kitchen to clean up the cut, while the woman banged on the door with a knife. "They're here. They're here. They're here. They're here. As Steph grabbed the first aid kit, I looked at my phone. More people were walking into the camera view. They were all wearing white flowing clothes, and the ones whose faces I could see donned the weird white masks. I grabbed Steph and raced upstairs without a word. Now, they're banging on the front door and windows all around the house, trying to get in. We ran to our room where I locked the door. I toppled our dresser and barricaded us in. I ran to the window and looked outside. At least 5 people were standing under looking up, knowing where we were. I took out my phone and dialed 911. It rang while Steph bandaged my arm as best as she could, but I knew I needed stitches. 911, what is your emergency? The operator asked. I yelled into the phone, explaining our situation, asking for the police, and fast. She told me they were 30 minutes out and to hold tight in a secured place. My phone continued to vibrate as more and more came out of the woods. I grabbed the baseball bat from under the bed and handed Steph the knife I kept in my nightstand, all while the banging continued outside. A crash came from downstairs. They'd breached the house. I could hear them shuffling upstairs, piling in. I held Steph close. We whispered our love for each other as the stairs creaked as they ascended them. We knew this was the end. If it was only one or two of them, then maybe I would have had a fighting chance, but there had to be at least 12, and I knew I wouldn't be able to fight my way out. They reached our door. there was a rhythmic pounding as they tried to get in, then metal scraping as they began to stab at the door, a knife piercing through the shining beam of light into the hallway. I kissed Steph one last time, closing my eyes as I held her as close as I could. The pounding stopped. No noise, no shuffling, nothing. I knew it was too good to be true, so I just waited for the shoe to drop. We sat there for what seemed like an eternity, but in actuality, it was about 7 minutes of silence. Then, red and blue, light flashing against my eyelids, made me open them. The cop shouted hello from downstairs. We cautiously got up to go to the door. Pushing the dresser out of the way, I opened the door. The only thing out of place upstairs was the single knife hole in the door. I yelled to the cop that we were coming down. As we made our way down the stairs, again, we realized nothing was out of place. As we reached the police officer, he introduced himself as Sergeant Bachman and told us about the door being open, which is how he got in. After we explained the events of the night, I went to pull up the security footage of the event to show him. File corrupted was all that displayed. All of the night's events were gone. As we looked around, the only evidence that anything happened was the small knife hole, the cut on my arm, and our word. The police say they'll have extra patrols in the area in case anything happens, but we've decided to stay in a motel, not knowing what else to do. That's where I'm writing this to you now. What could it have been? People playing a prank? A cult? Ghosts? Aliens? I just don't know. I'm at such a loss here. How do that many people just show up and leave without a trace? And that, listeners, is all that the letter I received said. What do you guys think it was? A cult? Ghosts? I'd love to hear what you think. Please, feel free to find me on Facebook at Haunted Horror Historian, or you can always send me an email at hauntedhorrorhistorian@gmail.com. I'm also really excited to announce that we have also just made ourselves a Tumblr. So if you're in that strange little dark corner of the internet, please feel free to find me there as well. I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week. So until next time, listeners, make sure your doors are locked. Stay spooky. And remember, sometimes it's more than just a story.